Welcome to The Beach is Just the Beginning, the official podcast of the Antigua and Barbuda Tourism Authority. Join travel author Peter Moore as he discovers the people and places that make Antigua and Barbuda the must-visit destination of the Caribbean. The beach is just the beginning.
Hi, I'm Peter Moore. Welcome to our episode about getting active in Antigua and Barbuda. Now, you've probably put Antigua and Barbuda at the top of your list because of the beautiful beaches and the incredible resorts. And hey, you won't get any judgment here from us. They are pretty special. But it would be remiss of us if we didn't draw your attention to the other amazing things you can do on island. Antigua and Barbuda are teeming with activities that are fun and exhilarating, but also show you another side of island life as well. For a gentle introduction to the island's more active side, Candy Lewis from South Coast Horizons recommends joining them on a kayak tour through the serene mangrove swamps near Cades Bay, and combining it with a snorkeling trip on Cades Reef, one of the best underwater experiences in the Caribbean. While we're out on the water, we'll pop into Stingray City and chat to Justin Moody Stewart. He reveals why swimming with rays here is a real once-in-a-lifetime experience, and why dropping in on Lavascount Island to see the giant tortoises is pretty cool too. Robert Hall from the Antigua Barbuda Sport Fishing Club tells us why the islands offer some of the best game fishing in the world and where you can land yourself a big one. In recent years, Antigua and Barbuda have emerged as one of the best hiking destinations in the Caribbean. The islands are crisscrossed with trails leading through a diversity of habitats and experiences. Sean Mao from Trek Tours tells us about the variety of treks they offer and what you can expect to see. E-biking has become increasingly popular in Antigua too. Rudolph Zachariah from Besto EPV explains why their tours are such a great way of exploring and experiencing the island. And I chat with their guide KJ moments after I finish one of their tours. I think you'll be able to tell I'm pretty pumped. Ready to ramp things up? Amy from Salty Dogs Adventures reveals that the roller coaster thrills of driving a four-wheel drive buggy through some of the most remote and rugged corners of Antigua is also a pretty good introduction to life on the islands as well. And Jake Kelsick from Kelsick Kiteboarding reveals why the north side of Antigua is the best place to learn kite surfing in the world, and why it's not bad for wakeboarding either. But first, we start with the most popular activity on Antigua and Barbuda, zip lining across the lush forests of Fig Tree Drive with Antigua Rainforest Zipline Tours. It's Antigua's number one activity on TripAdvisor, and I chat with Nancy Hadid to find out why. I must warn you though, there is screaming. Mostly in delight, but not always. At the moment, I'm up here on Fig Tree Drive and I'm just looking out across these beautiful hills covered in rainforest. And I'm chatting to Nancy Hadid, who is the general manager of the Antigua Rainforest Zipline Tour Company. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Now, I've arrived here this morning. There's lots of people getting all kitted up and ready to do the zipline. I think you could say it's probably the most popular activity on the island.
It is. We were one of the first zip lines in the Caribbean. It's kind of like an attraction that's odd for Antigua because It's known for its beaches. So everybody wants to do something a little different. Yeah. They want to come ziplining.
Well, I mean, that's what this podcast is all about. It's actually called The Beach is Just the Beginning. Yeah. We're trying to get people leave the resorts and come out and do these fantastic things that are here. How many different zip lines are here? How does it work?
Okay, well, we have four different tours. We can do 6 zip lines, 8 zip lines, 13, which we call 12 plus 1 for the superstitious. We don't call it 13 lines, we say 12 plus 1. And then we have our full course tour, which is 12 lines, and then a ropes course, like a, you know, Indiana Jones 9 element ropes course at the end.
And of course, you can also do it in conjunction with other activities, can't you?
Yeah, we do offer 2 combination tours, one with zipline and kayaking, and then one with zipline and stingray. And then you have lunch, we pick you up. So it's a nice combination tour. It takes about 6 hours.
Yeah, wow, that sounds great. So is there an age limit?
We've taken as young as 4 and as old as 99. We had a 99-year-old man come through a few years ago, which was very exciting. He didn't tell his wife he came ziplining though, but...
how does it begin? You sort of go down and you get all your harness on and all that sort of stuff.
We have certified rangers that are ACC trained, which everything here is certified. So yearly we get certification. So all the top of the line equipment and, you know, safety procedures and things like that. So you start up, you do an orientation, just, you know, kind of what to expect. You walk down, you get harnessed up. Then they do a little bit of a demo where they show you exactly the do's and don'ts, how to hold, you know, hold on, how to ride the lines properly. And then you're off.
Yeah. Wow. And how long does it generally take?
The tours range from 45 minutes to 2.5 hours.
You spoke about your rangers. From the research I did, they sound like they're pretty switched on people who know not just about all the proper safety stuff, but also they know a lot about the rainforest. They know a lot about the wildlife and all that sort of thing. And I read they're particularly knowledgeable about the bird life here.
I do have a couple of staff that are into, you know, the birds and the, you know, we don't have a lot of wildlife here per se, but we do have our little mongoose and and geckos and things like that. But they are versed on knowing a lot of that kind of stuff, yes. Mm-hmm.
What do you hope someone who comes out here will get out of this experience?
Well, like you've mentioned, it's another aspect of Antigua, another way to, when you come to the Caribbean, to not only the beaches, but to experience local people in a different element of having fun and a more adventurous kind of way, and not just leisurely just laying on the beach all day. It kind of brings a little thrill, a little excitement, you know, to your vacation while you're here.
If they just get out of the resort for one day,
come up
here,
do something
get a little
different.
Bit of an adrenaline
rush. Yes, absolutely.
See all this beautiful
scenery. Yeah, it is beautiful. And it's different to see when you come here, because we are known for our beaches and people want to come to that. But when you actually see how beautiful it is, it's just a different feeling, which is nice.
Even within Antigua, it's a different kind
absolutely.
Of feeling.
Absolutely, absolutely,
I mean, if you come up Fig Tree Drive, all of a sudden, it's greener, it's lusher, and just absolutely beautiful.
It's a beautiful place to be every day.
I don't want to move now. I've got to go off now and strap up and go zipping across this rainforest, and I'm very comfortable here just looking out across
this beautiful view. It is beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's going to be worth it there.
It is. Yeah. You're doing, I think, the 6 zip lines.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll get off right at this point here.
Quick taste,
and, have you done zipline before?
No, never.
Oh, you never have. Okay.
So it's first time.
Oh, well, look, our rangers, if you have any type of fear, and that's something that is also good to know, is we've had so many people.
There we go.
Yeah, that's a nice thing. We've had so many people come here that have just been petrified, and our rangers just take the time with them and they get them to do it.
And that was a scream of absolute joy then, not terror.
Oh, absolutely,
sure.
Absolutely. Wait till they come across here, because this is the longest line called the Screamer, the longest and the highest.
Ooh. Well, I guess I better go
go get ready.
Get strapped in and hit the heights.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was great. There's a ranger with you the whole way and everything's double hooked and double checked. It's a real adrenaline rush, especially the screamer. I think I might have even screamed a little louder than the people you heard in the interview, but it's worth it. Such a fun thing to do. Next, we head down Old Road to Cades Bay for something a little more chilled. A serene kayak trip through Antigua's most extensive and beautiful mangrove forest.
If you ever find yourself in the south of the island looking for a bit of adventure down around near Cades Bay, keep an eye out for a sign for South Coast Horizons. They're a company that offer kayaking tours, lagoon adventures in a pretty pristine mangrove swamp, like I said, in the south of the island. I'm actually sitting there right now, just on the dock. You can probably hear a nice gentle breeze surrounded by the mangrove, and there are fish jumping and splashing in the water and the occasional bird of prey swooping in to get them. And also with me is Candia Lewis, who is the operating manager of South Coast Horizons, and I'm here today to talk to her about the various exciting activities you can do when you travel here. Hi, how are you today?
I'm great, how are you?
That's good. I mean, this is a pretty magical spot here. It's just so peaceful and so quiet.
We're considered to be unique, very unique.
So what are the tours that you offer here?
We offer snorkeling at Cades Reef and kayaking through the Mangrove Lagoon. We also offer hiking. We have a short, medium-level trail that overlooks the south side of the island. It's a very, very beautiful view. And most of our guests are amazed by it.
I've actually been here before and done one of your tours, and it was fantastic. I remember we got into the kayaks just here, down at the dock there, paddled through a canal and onto a beautiful little white sand beach, where then I think we did the snorkeling because a boat came in and took us out to the reef. And it was a really magical kind of experience. There, we just heard a fish jumping in the background there. Once you're out on the reef, what can people expect when they go snorkeling or diving just off there?
Expect to see reef sharks.
Oh, wow.
Octopus is a very popular one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's an amazing experience. It is a 2 mile long barrier reef, and it's about 10 minutes from our property. Once you're there, you would experience some of the best snorkeling Antigua has to offer. The snorkeling is just amazing. With our tours, we try to keep it as personal as possible, not crowded. You wouldn't find us like rushing, and you know, we promise that the experience is going to be unforgettable.
Now we're sitting here on the docks, and I'm just watching a little punt go across from the dock over to the boardwalk, is it? So if you did the boardwalk tour, that's how you'd have to get across to start it?
Yes, it's not connected. The raft is used to connect our guests to the beach via the boardwalk.
So just to explain, it's got a rope that you sort of pull along to,
right.
to
it's
make
like
the
a zip line,
yeah, zip
but
line,
on the water.
But on the water.
Yeah.
That looks a lot of fun.
It's vintage, and what we love about it is that our guests, they love it too.
Yeah.
That's the connection to the beach.
300 feet by a mangrove lagoon.
Yes. Once you're on the boardwalk, you have a more personal experience with the mangrove. So you can stop and take pictures and just observe what's going on in there. You would also see the fish, the birds, the sound. You just want to stop and wait and take it all in. It's really peaceful.
And the only other sound is, of course, your paddle dipping into the water and that lovely little splash.
The little splash, yeah. Yes.
When people are in the mangrove park, paddling through that narrow canal with the branches and the leaves overhead, what kind of things can they expect to see there? Are there like crabs and birds and sort of things?
It's very quiet in there. So the only thing that you'll be hearing is probably the birds and your paddles banging against the roots of the mangrove as you go along. The word magical to me is what it is, because once you exit, you're now in the open ocean after you've gone through the mangrove lagoon.
So you're going through a tunnel and then just emerging into the light and all those great Caribbean colors of the sand and the ocean and the sky.
Right.
If someone wanted to do this tour, how much time should they allow?
4 hours, because we allow you to spend time on the beach to enjoy our rum punch and our fruit punch and our local cuisine.
What kind of level of fitness do you think people need to be able to do the kayaking?
I would say low to medium. The water is no more than 3 to 4 feet.
What would you say is your favorite part of the experience?
I love the boardwalk tour. You get a very personal experience with the mangrove. So at this point, you're not kayaking, you're walking. So you can stop and take it all in. It's really beautiful. That also ends at the beach.
I've got one tip. If someone's doing the lagoon adventure and the kayaking, my tip would be to sit in the back. Because when I did it and I was at the back, I could see the person in front was paddling. And we got through quite easily. But on the way back, I went in the front and it was so much harder. And I turned around, they weren't paddling. So.
Ah, but it's designed for the person at the back to do the paddling. Part of our instruction would be the person who's stronger should sit at the back.
Okay. Well, that's what we did on the way through and it worked a treat. But on the way back, the person I was with wanted to sit in the back and they weren't paddling. So that's why it was so much harder for me. There you go. That's my tip. Sit in the back or make sure the person at the back is paddling.
And also, you just have to coordinate with your partner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Otherwise, you end up going around in circles.
Yeah.
And there's not much room there, is there?
It's no, like, there isn't
much
room.
It's quite a tight little canal.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So if someone was coming to do a South Coast Horizon adventure, which of your offerings would you say is the must-do, the one that if they've got the time, they must do it?
So I would encourage them to do both, the lagoon adventure coupled with the snorkeling. Because if you get this far through the lagoon, Cades Reef is only 10 minutes.
Basically, you can see it from the beach, can't you?
You can't come here and not experience Cades Reef. The reef barrier is magnificent. It has a lot to be seen. The fish, the whole ecosystem out there is amazing. Our guests thoroughly enjoy the snorkeling experience.
That mangrove forest is such a special place. I know this episode is about getting active in Antigua and Barbuda, but as I was chatting to Candia, I could just feel myself slipping into this zen-like state. But I guarantee the kayaking and snorkeling there will get your heart rate back up again. To keep it there, you need to pop over to the other side of Antigua, up around Willikies, and go swimming with the rays at Stingray City. It's not so much a cardio workout, but the excitement levels are sky high.
Ever since I saw that brilliant viral photo of a stingray photobombing a girl in the Caribbean, I've always wanted to swim with stingrays. And now, here in Antigua, I finally get my chance. I'm going out to the island's most famous wildlife attraction, Stingray City. But before I do, I'm having a chat with Justin Moody Stewart, General Manager of Stingray City, to find out more. Hi, Justin. How are you?
Hey, good, good. How are you?
So what can I expect when I go out there?
Well, you can expect some adrenaline, for sure. There's going to be a lot of stingrays. It's a open area out in the middle of the ocean. There's no fence, so the stingrays are free to come and go as they please. We've got about 40 to 50 of them out there that just come up to you as soon as you get in the water. So sometimes you can be a little overwhelmed at the start, but also you get comfortable pretty quick because you've got no choice. You know what I mean? They're going to come and touch you, so...
Yeah, they'll be coming at you from all angles.
Yeah, from all angles.
So can you tell us a bit more about Stingray City, how it started?
We started in 2002. Actually, my dad started the company, Andrew. It was pretty much an idea that he got. The Cayman Islands, they've got their Stingray City, which is like a natural area where fishermen would go out. They'd catch fish and clean the fish in this one area. So the stingrays being scavengers all started to come. So they called it Stingray City. And then a bunch of different boats started going out there, and it was a good tour. So he got the idea from that and decided, why not make one here in Antigua? So we did, and we just set up our own area, got the stingrays, had them coming to the area, feeding. Eventually, they just became used to that area, so they kept coming out, and then we just had one for ourselves.
Tell us a bit about the rays. On your website, you say they're the brightest rays in the Caribbean. What does that mean?
Well, it's a little bit of a play on words, so... They're the brightest being like, you know, it's sunshine out here. It's a nice area. So they're the brightest rays in that sense. But they're the smartest rays in the Caribbean as well, we like to think. So we call them the brightest. When we first started, we had some scientists come and do a little study on them. And they were saying they're fish and they've got no memory past 5 seconds and blah, blah, blah. But being out there all the time, they know what the bucket is. They know where to come and feed. They know the area. We like to believe they know the guys, you know what I mean? Like there's guys that have their special stingray. So yeah, we like to consider them the brightest rays in the Caribbean.
Technically speaking, what kind of rays are they?
So they're southern stingrays.
Okay.
Yeah, which are pretty common species of stingray. But yeah, they're southern stingrays.
And do they have personalities?
Yeah, I would say so for sure. There's a few of them. Like I said, the guys have their special ones. There's one Lulu. And it's the only one that when you hold it, she actually lifts the front of her face up. She's got like a little lip at the front. And he'll say, like, give me a kiss. And she actually lifts up the front. There's some of them that don't like to be held. There's some that want to be held. You know, there's some that are a little more greedy than others. So they definitely have personality.
How do you actually hold a stingray?
Once you're comfortable, they can sense that. So they're a little more comfortable. And you just kind of have to get your arms underneath it in a way where your just balances onto your arms. And then it just sits there. Eventually, they just let all their weight go and they'll just sit in your arms.
And what's the texture of a stingray?
They're very smooth. Some people would say slimy, but we like to say smooth. It doesn't leave any slime on you. but they've got like a mucus coating over them. So the underside's really soft, and then the top is a little gritty from all the electro sensors.
You said before that the stingrays are free to come and go as they please. Yeah. So I'm guessing that for them, their welfare is okay, because if they don't like it, they can just swim off.
And some of them do. We've got rays that come in, and they'll be coming for quite some time, and then we don't see them for a little while, and then they pop back up a few months later, and we like to say they're going on holiday. They have their choice. They don't have to come or go. They just do their thing.
In the briefing, you mentioned hickeys.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
All right. So yeah, the stingrays, they don't have teeth. They've got like a flat, hard surface in their mouth and then a really strong suction. So what happens out there is sometimes when you're feeding them, the stingray can get a little excited. It misses the food. It might suck you. And then, yeah, because it's a strong suction, if you pulled away, the blood comes to like the surface of your skin, you get a hickey.
So yeah. A love bite from a stingray.
A little love bite from a stingray. It's good luck.
What an excuse for your wife. It wasn't, it wasn't. I'm not seeing anyone else. It was a stingray,
it was a stingray.
I promise you.
Yep.
Now, if people are coming along, do they need to be a good swimmer? What's it like out there?
We like to say, like, you don't need to know how to swim at all, because where we interact with them is pretty shallow. So the majority of people can stand. And we have the wranglers out there that always can help somebody if they can't stand. But everything is done in a fairly shallow area where it's controlled, where you don't have to be a swimmer at all. You could actually just walk the whole time.
Okay.
And then if you wanted to do some snorkeling, then yeah, you could be a swimmer. Or we have the snorkeling vest, and it's not too choppy out there. So there's few areas where you can actually snorkel without even having to know how to swim properly.
So the area itself is shallow, but it's surrounded by some reefs as well.
Yeah,
so
there's got some reef out there. It's like a barrier reef that goes along the outer area there. So on the inside of it, it creates this nice little sand bank that we can go on.
And how about getting a photo? I know a lot of smartphones are waterproof these days, but what if people don't want to risk them?
We also take pictures as well. We've got a cameraman out there who'll take the photos, and they're on display in a little photo shop once you get back. And then you can purchase them there. But yeah, phones and your own cameras, you can always take your own pictures too.
Now, can you combine a visit with Stingray City with any other kind of options that you guys offer?
Yeah, so we just started a new tour. It started in 2020, just before COVID, and then we closed down for a bit because, and then we've opened back up, but it's called Lavascount Island. And over there, we've got some giant Aldabra tortoises and parrots, iguanas. It's its own private island. And yeah, you can combine that with the stingray tour and do an hour at each location. You start with the stingrays, you get the adrenaline, you get wet. And then from there, you go over to the island, you can dry off, and then it's a little slower paced and more relaxing.
So finally, what do you think makes a visit to Stingray City so memorable? What have some of your visitors said that they loved about?
Well, the majority of people just say they love the stingrays. It's a weird experience that you can't really get in much places. And then the fact that they're all free. So we're one of two in the Caribbean other than Cayman Islands that don't have an enclosure. And so I think that's like the one of the top things that people love, is that they're free. At the end of the day, they're there. It's their choice, and we're not forcing them to be held or to stay. So that's one of the things that the guests really love. And then with the island, the tortoises as well, they're pretty bizarre. Not a lot of people think that tortoises would be as interactive as they are. But once you get over there, these tortoises are pretty much chasing you for food. And it's just weird, you know. It's one of those things that you don't expect. So it's fun. It's just different. Come check it out. Yeah, to anybody listening, yeah. It is something incredible. And it's like a once-in-a-lifetime experience, unless you come twice. And yeah, so come check it out.
Justin's right. It is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. I was a little disappointed I didn't get a hickey, but hey, it meant I didn't have to have any awkward conversation with my wife. My next guest is the guy you need to get in contact with if you want to catch a fish instead of swim with it. He's Robert Hall from the Antigua Barbuda Fishing Club, and I had a chat with him about how to go big game fishing in the islands. Hey, Robert, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm real good, real good. Now, sports fishing in Antigua and Barbuda. What makes Antigua and Barbuda such a great place to go sports fishing, do you think?
Well, we are uniquely located in the Caribbean chain. Right towards the north of us is basically open Atlantic, and directly east of us is all open Atlantic as well. Right at that very curve is where a lot of currents tend to pass through. So a lot of nutrients just pass this area. So we are we're in a prime spot.
What kind of fish can people expect to catch if they go fishing there?
You can catch everything from blue marlin, white marlin, sailfish, which are basically the three types of billfish that we have in our waters. You can actually go for swordfish as well, but it has a whole other ball game. That's much different to your typical billfishing or trolling style. And you can also get wahoo, kingfish, mahi-mahi. Some people call it dolphin or dorado. And then you have a whole host of inshore species that you could really go for as well. I mean, there's snook, there's tarpon, there's big giant jack crevalles, there's snappers of all types. There's a lot that you could do in Antigua if you have the right equipment and the right person to take you.
What are some of the prime spots in the islands to go fishing?
Funnily enough, you can go on any side of the island and catch like wahoo. You can always go for dolphin or tuna. But primarily, if you want to go for marlin, the anglers who enter, they tend to go to the east side of the island or in the northeast.
You've been fishing these waters for 30 years now, I think. What's your best catch? What's your most memorable catch that you've had in that time?
there's too many to mention, to be honest. I would have to say it would have been many years ago when I was still a teenager. I was probably maybe 14 or so. And I went fishing with some friends in the east, and we were trolling for wahoo and actually hooked a blue marlin.
Oh, wow.
So I fought that blue marlin for a little while, and it was maybe in the region of about 300 to 350 pounds. And yeah, that certainly does stick with you for quite a while.
Now, obviously, you've got those big fish, but some of the smaller fish put up a good fight and are fun to catch as well, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, as much as it's fun to go marlin fishing, I like the light tackle. I like to go along the coastline, maybe with 15 to anywhere from 10 to 15 pound test. And I'm using like a medium to medium heavy rod. I will just go along the shore and try to catch something big. Probably the most enjoyable or exciting thing to catch would be a tarpon, because they're very acrobatic.
Now, if someone's coming to Antigua and Barbuda and they want to try their hand a bit at sports fishing, are there companies in Antigua that will take them out fishing?
There's a few charter boats that you can go with. There are a couple of guys that actually tailored specific charters as well. So if you want to go light tackle fishing for bigger fish in the ocean, you want to go with spinning rods to catch mahi or wahoo. You know, there are guys out there that can specialize in that. If you wanted to go inshore, there's certainly some guys that offer those light tackle inshore charters. Fly fishing on the flats is becoming quite popular. You can get a bottom fishing charter. You can go for snappers in the deep. You can go for wahoo. There's people offering everything.
Now, obviously, you know most of these guys because you've been doing it for so long, and also you're part of the Antigua and Barbuda Sports Fishing Club. Are there any particular guys that you would recommend just off the top of your head?
Off the top of my head, I would say that there would be Overdraft, Captain Frank Hart. There is Obsession, that's Captain Derek Beale. They are located in the English Harbour and Falmouth Harbour areas, which is in the southeast part of the island. If you wanted to go, say, on the west coast, there's Mystic Amara with Captain Lee. There is Barefoot Charters with Stevie Menz, Captain Stevie Menz. That's a very good charter as well. And there are a few others.
When you go out with these guys and you catch something and you keep it, the ideal thing would be when you get back on shore would be to cook it up. Would they help you with that kind of stuff as well?
If you were the lucky person to catch a nice, decent wahoo or a mahi, and you wanted a fillet to take back to your hotel or to take back to your room to cook, I'm sure that they would accommodate.
And if you are releasing them back, you don't need to worry anyway, because basically all over the island are fantastic restaurants where you can get all this incredible fish. Have you got any favourite places you like to go where they do the fish really well?
I really like Cloggy's in English Harbour, and also Garden Grill does a decent fish burger as well. And Le Bistro would be one of my favourite. They're a very consistent restaurant.
Now, also, I think on the weekend there was a tournament, wasn't there?
Yeah, we had what we call the Francis Nunes Junior Memorial Fishing Tournament, which was just on Saturday. Had 15 boats competing, and I believe we had just over 45 wahoo caught and a few kingfish as well. Yeah, the wahoo is primarily what most of the guys here in Antigua like to fish for. It's a really, really fast fish, and when it strikes, it lets you know that there's something there for sure.
Is the tournament just open to club members, or could other people get involved?
Yeah, for sure. The tournament is open to anybody who is willing to enter and pay the registration fee. We do have two other tournaments in the year that we do. And it's, again, it's always open to the general public. We actually open it to regional competitors as well. In June, when we have our very large tournament, which is the Billfish tournament, we get competitors coming from as far south as St. Lucia, Barbados. We have boats coming from Martinique, Guadeloupe, St. Barts, Montserrat, St. Kitts and Nevis, St. Martin. So it's a well-participated tournament. It's probably going on about 55 years now.
So obviously, if someone's into their sports fishing, you know, and they come down to Antigua and Barbuda, they could try and charter a boat and get involved.
Oh, yeah. We do get quite a few of the charter boats get bookings just for the tournament. There's one boat that has a couple that come down from Maine, and they've been fishing in tournaments in Antigua for probably 10 to 15 years. Every year they come down and enter. So they really enjoy it, and we're really, really happy to have them come every year.
Sounds like a lot of fun, doesn't it? I should point out again that when Robert talks about catching dolphin, he's talking about catching mahi-mahi, not Flipper and his mates. It's really good eating, by the way. I tried some at Catherine's Cafe, and it was delicious. Now, of all the activities you can do on Antigua and Barbuda, it is hiking that has really come into its own of late. Boggy Peak, Antigua's highest mountain, is a popular destination, and the trail from Nelson's Dockyard up to Shirley Heights is another favourite, especially with locals who discovered the joys of hiking on the island during the pandemic. It's increasingly popular with visitors too. Companies like Trek Tours are leading walks to all parts of the island. Manager and tour leader Sean Mull tells me what you should expect and how they've got walks for every level of fitness. Hi Sean, how are you?
I'm good, Peter. How are you this morning?
I'm really good. Now, hiking in Antigua, it's had a bit of a resurgence, I think, due to COVID, hasn't it?
I tell people now that it's the number one sport since COVID came.
So people are basically discovering all the great places to go hiking in Antigua. What do you think makes it such a great place to go for a walk or a hike?
It's a great place because we have so much different variety in terms of trails. Like you can opt to do a coastal trail for the entire hike that you're seeing the Atlantic Ocean, or you're even doing another trail where you're seeing the Caribbean Sea. And then you can switch it up another day and do an inland trail where you're hiking through our rainforest and you're seeing birds and different, flora and fauna. So you have that duality in terms of, you know, you can do something that's very open air, and then you can do something that's very inland. And at the same time, you could do something that's mildly strenuous and do something that's very strenuous. So you have options. That's the great thing about it.
Yeah, exactly. I know when I've been there, there's been some great hikes. I mean, there's ones that start around English Harbour and Nelson's Dockyard, for example, and can go straight up towards Shirley Heights. Or you've got other ones that are up to, what used to be Boggy Peak and is now Mount Obama and Signal Hill. So there's certainly a variety of, like you said, of different things to do.
Yeah, just to update you, they actually changed the name back to Boggy Peak.
Oh, have they? Okay.
Yeah, I think that was back in 2019 or 2020.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, they decided to change it back.
Change it back. So we just talked about some of the natural kind of things that people can expect to see, you know, with the ocean and the hills and that sort of thing. Do they come across stuff that's related to the island's history or its culture or, you know, even, I guess, kind of like the different plants and stuff that are around?
There's a lot of culture still to be had on the hiking trails. And the reality is, even now that I look at some other hiking groups going hiking deep into, you know, the bushes, they always come across different relics from the time when we, you know, produced a lot of sugarcane on the island, in terms of maybe old scrap iron that has been left behind, old factories that are still out there, you know, buried under shrubbery. So there's always something to be seen on a hiking trail. And especially in terms of, you know, flora, fauna, there's so many different types of cacti that are out there, types of agave plants that are out there. And one of my favorites since the pandemic, for sure, is if you're into birds, we have quite a number of bird species in Antigua and Barbuda, some that are endemic to the island, especially the Barbuda warbler in Barbuda. And if you're going hiking in any coastal area, I would say if you have a small pair of binoculars to bring on your vacation, bring them with you, because you're more than likely you would spot brown pelicans or the magnificent frigate bird and so many others that we could do a whole podcast talking about birding.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Now, your company, Trek Tours, from what I can gather from the website, you offer a number of different tours. One that caught my eye was one called Stinking Toe.
Yes.
What are the different tours that you offer, and where did their unique names come from, I guess?
So 8 years ago, when we started the company, we wanted, you know, to stand out and to have our own mark in terms of not just saying, you know, a hike is easy, a hike is medium, a hike is hard. We wanted to tie it to something, again, bringing that cultural aspect to the forefront of what we're doing. So our easy hikes are called sugar apple hikes. A sugar apple is not like a regular apple. It's something that you would find in the islands, a sugar apple or a custard apple. It has a very velvety but rigid exterior. When it's ripe, it's very soft and plush. And when you open it, it's a very white, soft fruit on the inside with lots of seeds. So it's very easy to open, very easy to eat. So we decided to name our easy trails sugar apple.
Okay.
Mangoes take a little bit more work because, you know, they have that hard skin on the outside that you have to bite into. But once you get past that hard exterior, you have a plush, juicy fruit on the inside, right? And everyone loves mangoes. And the tamarind, which is the challenging hike, is a little bit more strenuous. The tamarind is a small fruit, but it could be anywhere ranging from extremely sweet to extremely sour. And depending on, you know, what your taste buds go for, you might love it or you might not like it. But it's not that it's a challenge to eat. It's that, you know, depending on where you fit in terms of your physical dexterity, it might be challenging for you to accomplish this hike. And then the mountain slayer, what we call the stinking toe.
Okay.
Stinking toe is actually a fruit. I don't know the scientific name for it, but it's one that if you ever do the hike from Christian Valley to Buggy Peak, then you will come across lots of it on the trail. It has a hard exterior shell that you break into. And once you break into it, there is this powdery yellow substance on the inside that has an awful smell. But when you taste it, it's powdery, soft, and sweet. It's an oxymoron of a fruit if there ever was one. It smells like something that you should not be eating. But when you taste it, you're like, this does not taste like how it smells.
So someone doing that hike might be thinking as they're going along, what the hell am I doing? but when they get to the end of it, they're just going to be rewarded with this fantastic feeling of achievement.
Most definitely. And of all our hikes, this one actually, the midway point is when you hike down, you go directly to Rendezvous Beach, which is an amazing beach. And the hike back up is the challenge because for the most part, it's all downhill. But what you're not thinking about, I have to hike all this way back up to get to where we started.
Especially when you're on a beautiful beach, probably laying back in the beautiful blue water there and just lapping it up. And then you think, oh, I've got to get back.
Exactly, exactly.
So each of those, do they go to different places?
Yeah, they're different destinations. So for the sugar apple hikes, the easy hikes, we could always do a easy walk to the Pillars of Hercules just from starting from Galleon Beach. And, you know, you would have to climb over some boulders to get to the pillars, but nothing extreme in terms of inclines or even duration. So that's a pretty chill hike. And for the mango hike, we have, you know, two options that are a little bit more strenuous, but always equally rewarding. And that's a hike to Fort George, also known as Monk's Hill. And that one has a bit of a incline going up, I'd say about a mile and a half to the top from where you start, about 700 feet elevation to get to the top. And that gives you a panoramic view of English Harbor. Same thing with a Fort Berkeley hike, that we start that one in the parking lot of the Nelson's Dockyard. We go over to Pigeon Beach, and then we take the trail down to Fort Berkeley. and that puts you right at the entrance of the Nelson's Dockyard Harbor as well. For the more challenging hikers out there, we definitely have the world-famous hike to Buggy Peak. You'd be surprised that many people that come to the island want to hike to the highest point.
I think it's human nature, isn't it, to sort of conquer the highest peaks.
We've had guests who only want to do that hike. I had one gentleman in January of this year who was trying to hike the highest points of all Caribbean islands.
So obviously that's something you offer as well, isn't it? Custom trips for people.
Yes, yes, most definitely.
And also I saw sunset treks, which sound quite interesting.
Yes, because some people, they want to, you know, relax for the whole day and then do something late afternoon. So we offer that for them as well. We do the hike to Shirley Heights for the sunset trek just because it's always an amazing view of the sunset from Shirley Heights.
That's incredible. And if they do it on a Sunday or a Thursday, there's the big party at the top there.
There is. We've actually done that a couple of times by mistake. Well, by mistake for the guests, we know, but we save it for them to enjoy. Like, hey, this is what's happening here. So we're hiking up and you're hearing steel band music.
And then you can smell the barbecue.
Of course, of course.
And then there's a nice cold rum punch waiting for you at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic, fantastic. Now, when someone does one of your tours, they all sound like they start in different places. Do you go and pick people up or do they meet at a certain place? How does that work?
We definitely pick them up because we want to control the experience and also want to control the timing as well. We pick them up from any hotel that they're staying on the island. Even if it's a guest house or Airbnb, we pick you up, do the hike and take you right back to the hotel. Cruise ships as well. We pick up at Heritage Key for persons on the cruise. We meet them and take them on a wonderful adventure.
What do you ask them to bring along? What do they need to bring along?
Appropriate footwear is the first thing. We can't go hiking in flip-flops.
No.
But anything from strapped-up sandals that, you know, you're comfortable walking for at least an hour, 2 hours in, that's fine. Running shoes, tennis shoes, sneakers, all those are fine. I don't think we've had anyone wearing Crocs on any of the hikes. But yeah. I just say that because I know it's a trend now, but they might not be the best footwear for hiking.
Yeah, they've come back in fashion.
Other than that, just dress, you know, appropriately for outdoors in the sense of, you know, shorts, breathable shirt, a hat, sunglasses, sunblock if you need it. And we provide water on all our treks. So that's one thing that persons don't really have to bring. But if you want to, you know, pack along an energy bar or two or a fruit or something, you know, to snack on while we get to the top, you can bring all that with you.
I also saw on the website that you do sort of combo tours with a trek and then with other activities you can do on the island.
So what we realize is that people that want to hike actually just want to be outside. Like if you find us, it means that we are your people and you are our people. So the combo tours really give them that opportunity to say, okay, I've seen something amazing via land, but I also got an experience to go to the beach, to do an island tour, or to swim at the stingrays, to go zip lining, to go snorkeling, or even to get a massage at a spa. So we have those combo tours that we have built specifically so that persons could get a couple of things in just on one go for a packaged price, and we take care of everything.
Now, finally, if a visitor to Antigua only had time to do one hike, which one would you recommend they do?
That's a very hard question, Peter. That is a very hard question. But I would definitely say the hike to the Pillars of Hercules. And I say that because the view from Shirley Heights is amazing. And seeing a natural limestone formation on the edge of the ocean is very breathtaking. I took two friends there on Sunday. Before we even got to the main part of it, they were already, you know, taking pictures. And so when I said, yeah, there's more around the corner, they were like, oh, wait, there's more? And they were just enthralled in how amazing it is that you're standing right on the water's edge under these amazing pillars that are larger than life, and you just get to stand there and take it all in. There's a beautiful ocean in front of you. There's some magnificent pillars behind you. And, you know, you're just in the middle of this amazing natural canopy.
I totally agree with Sean. That hike down from Shirley Heights to the Pillars of Hercules is sensational. Now, one of the best ways to get active in any destination is to go cycling. Antigua and Barbuda are no exception, but being in the tropics, it can get a little hot and sweaty. That's where electric bikes come in. They offer all the good stuff about cycling, but with that little bit of help when you need it. Last time I was in Antigua, I went on a Nature Valley bike, hike and beach tour with Besta EPV and chatted with Rudolf Zachariah about what makes electric bikes the perfect way to experience the island.
Small and compact, Antigua is in many ways the perfect cycling destination. And now, thanks to Besta EPV, it's even easier to pedal your way through Antigua and soak up the island vibes. I decided to get the lowdown on e-biking in Antigua with Rudolf Zachariah from Besto EPV. Hi Rudolf, how's it going?
Hey Peter, I'm pretty good.
Now, I gotta say, e-biking through Antigua sounds pretty cool. Where did the idea come from?
The idea came from just generally wanting to provide a new tour. When you looked around the island, there's no e-bike tours available at the time. So just wanted to offer guests a new way to see the island.
So what do you think makes e-bikes ideal for doing tours around here and in Antigua?
Antigua, the terrain is quite rugged and the bikes, they provide you with a stable way to ride around, and the fact that they're e-bikes, low effort is required and it makes it easier.
So what kind of bikes do you use?
Pedal electric. They're powered by pedal assist and also by throttle assist.
What kind of level of fitness do people need to be able to do the tour?
Not much, honestly. Once you can walk and you're good with your legs and everything, you'll be fine.
If you can ride a bike, you can basically ride an e-bike.
Yes, you indeed can.
What are the different tours that you guys offer?
We offer two different tours at the moment. There's the morning tour, which you just had yourself.
Yeah.
It comes with the hike, it comes with a little fishing, the riding, of course, and lastly, a picnic on the beach. We also have a sunset tour, which takes you to another beach. It starts at a different destination than this one, and you get a lovely chance to see the historical Fort James.
So basically, the morning tour is here around Darkwood Beach and environs.
Yes.
And the sunset tour is up near St. James.
Fort Beach, yes.
Fort Beach, okay, cool. How long does the tour take generally?
The afternoon tour, the sunset tour, that tour takes approximately an hour and a half. And the morning tour takes about 3 hours because we include the different aspects and you also get time to enjoy the beach, maybe take a swim or whatever.
How can visitors book a tour?
The morning and afternoon tours can both be booked through our website and you get a discount if you book through the website. The afternoon tour can be booked through Sandals.
Yeah. So do you pick people up from their hotels?
The afternoon tour, since it can be booked through Sandals, we mostly get Sandals residents and the hotel is right there by our starting point. But yes, for the morning tour, we do offer pickups. We also do bike sharing. Currently, we have bikes located at two areas around the island. That's Antigua Village and the Antigua Yacht Club. Those bikes can be used through our app on our phone. You just download our app on our phone, you scan a bike code and it unlocks and you're free to ride wherever for the day. And you can find out more information on our Facebook and our Instagram, which again is Besto EPV.
So finally, what do you think it is that makes Antigua such a great e-biking destination?
The environment, because it's mostly sunny, and also the different things you get to see. When you're biking, you have more time to look around at your surroundings. You're not moving so fast as per se a vehicle where you're just flying through an area. You get more time to absorb all of that.
Okay, I don't know if you can hear these waves in front of us, but I'm back at Darkwood Beach after just doing the morning tour with Besta EPV electric bike tours, and I've got my guide here, KJ.
Hi.
That was such fun.
It was.
And easier than I thought. I thought that an e-bike might take a bit of getting used to, but it's really just like riding a normal bike, but with a little bit of extra power there when you need it.
Yeah, with a little help.
With the helping hand. We started out here at Darkwood Beach, and then we went down past Tamarind Hill and down to Fry's Beach.
Yes.
There's a big fry and a little
big
fry.
Big fries and little fries.
Yeah, which is really cool. And then we went over into like farmland.
Yes, that's what we call Orange Valley. Mainly what's in there is just a bunch of agriculture, a lot of farms. A lot of people depend on those farms. Some of them sell them to their supermarkets. Others just go to the regular market in town and they sell.
And we also got to see one of the old sugar mills and then
a slave dungeon.
I mean, that was terrible. The things that happened there are just shocking.
Yes, sadly. To your viewers, they have to come and experience it to hear the tale about it.
Yeah, exactly. We stopped at a little farm that belonged to a friend of yours, or a guy you've befriended.
Farmer Phil,
yeah. He had all kinds of things growing there, didn't he? He had some cucumbers. I know he's famous for his cucumbers. They're extra sweet. There's some pumpkin, there was some melon, there was some papaya, there was some sorrel, there was some okra. So a little bit of everything you need, basically. From there, we went along, quite a sort of rough little road, but we ended up at...
The Dead Sand Pond.
The Dead Sand Pond, that's right. We ended up at the Dead Sand Pond. Yeah, can you tell us a bit more about Dead Sand Pond?
Okay, so it got its name because it was originally connected to the seawater, so it had sand.
Yeah.
But then the connection was blocked, so the sand that is at the pond is now dead because there's no flow in it, nothing at all to keep it going.
But when you say it's dead, it's not really. There's still fish in it, there's bird life, there's all kinds of mangroves and white mangrove and all kinds of stuff there.
There's a lot of wildlife in it still, but we just call it dead sand because it's disconnected from the actual ocean.
And I've got to say, that was probably the most fun of the trip because we got to whack it up to 5 and just tear along the sand there. It was great fun.
Yeah, so you turned into speed demons. Yeah.
I think I was probably one of the fastest on the sand there for a while. That was great fun. And of course, then after that, we did a hike up the hill to what's the name of that point that we're at?
It doesn't have a specific name.
Okay.
We hiked up to the hill where you can view the beach and still the area that we went on the tour. So you get a good bird's eye view.
Yeah, an overview of what you've just been through. Yeah, and of course, today it's fairly clear. So we're able to see Montserrat.
And a bit of Redonda.
Bit of Redonda, and then vaguely in the distance we could see Nevis as well. So fantastic. And then of course it ends back at beach. Basically, think of what a Caribbean beach is, and that's what it is here.
Yeah.
For customers, then they get a picnic under one of these lovely little umbrella stands. Yeah, I can see some crisps and cold drinks, a couple of pillows. It's lovely. Yeah. So it's a bit of everything with the e-bike thing.
You get a bit of everything. A
bit of everything, and it's not too difficult for people to do.
Basically, as long as you can ride a bike, you can use the e-bike and just to follow the rules of the road, just to be safe, and everything goes smoothly.
Definitely something you've got to do when you go to Antigua. It's such a great way to get out and about in the countryside. And having a picnic lunch waiting for you when you get back to Darkwood Beach, well, that's just an added bonus. Now, from two wheels, we go to four, and in particular, the four-wheel drive buggies of Salty Dogs Adventures. I chatted with Amy from Salty Dogs HQ, and she reckons if you're not afraid of getting a little muddy, there's no better way of seeing the island. Hi, Amy. How's it going?
It's going great. A bit windy here on our side of the island, but pretty good.
Pretty good. Okay, that sounds like life in Antigua. Generally, I think it's pretty good. Now, this episode, this podcast episode is about getting active in Antigua and Barbuda, getting out of the resort and exploring the island. And I'd have to say, going on a four-wheel drive buggy tour with Salty Dog Adventures is a pretty good way of doing that, don't you think?
Yes, it is.
Could you just tell us a bit more about these buggies? Are they easy to drive?
Yes, they are pretty much easy to drive. They are automatic, four wheels, side-by-side buggies. We do take two persons in the buggy because there are some trails that we do go on, and the trails are very rugged, and it's good for stability and control.
Okay, to have a bit of extra weight.
Our guys who are professional, they sometimes go by themselves in a buggy or a backup person will be with them. But, sometimes persons like, why can't I have my own buggy? Those are the specific reason why.
I can imagine. Now, obviously, then you head off into the Antigua hinterland. And it's a mix of off-road and on-road, isn't it?
Yes, that's correct.
Is there a guide who sort of leads the way and everyone follows? Is that how it works?
Yes, that's how it works. So we have a tour guide and everyone will follow. And sometimes, depending on the size of the group, we will also have a backup guide as well.
Can you tell us a bit about the route that you go? I think you've got is it the Southern Tour? Is that what it's called?
Yes, it's our Southern Tour.
So basically, people turn up at your office in Jennings. They get shown all the safety features, I imagine, and how to work the buggies, and then you set off. So what could someone expect as they set off?
First things first, when they get to our location, we give them the final paperwork to make sure that we have all their names, everything. And then our guide will direct them, letting them know the safety features of how to use the buggies and what to do when they get on the trail.
The website describes it as a real roller coaster ride. Do you think that's a fair description?
Yes, it's pretty much of a roller coaster ride, because sometimes you will go on a part that's very rugged, then you go onto a smooth part, then back again. So it's pretty much like a roller coaster.
And I imagine it doesn't really matter what the weather's like. It could be fun whether it's raining or whether it's dry or whatever the weather throws at you.
Pretty much, but I guess some folks prefer when it's a bit wet, because when it's very dry, it's pretty dusty.
Yeah, and mud is spectacular as well. Just going through and just sending out a spray of mud would be just fantastic fun. Now, of course, that's part of it, that sort of off-road adventure and that sort of thing. But it's also a great way of seeing another side of the island, isn't it, as well?
Most of the places that you can't get to via using vehicles, our buggies can take you to those locations. So the guests sometimes are pretty much amazed when they go through most of the parts on the trail. Like, we go through villages, sometimes we pass through some open fields where farmers are cultivating their land. So they get to see all of that while they're on the trail. And then they get the on-road features where they also will see more of the island life in the villages and also our natural rainforest. They get to visit all of that as well.
Yeah, because I think I saw on your website you go across to Boddy Pond, which of course is very close to Wallings and Fig Tree Drive and all that very beautiful lush rainforest area.
Yes, that's correct.
And I saw on your website as well, the drive ends at a beach where you can just jump off and go and have a dip in the beautiful waters there, of course. Which beach do you end up at?
Well, it all depends on which beach. Seeing that we have 365 beaches, it depends on which beach we take. And it all also depends on the type of the crowd or the persons, the individuals that will be on the tour. So if we look, we see that they're super adventurous, we will take them to Rendezvous Bay. If they're more quiet type and not too adventurous, we will take them to Fry's Beach.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Your sport for choice in Antigua, because the legend is 365 beaches and each one of them is fantastic. That's great. So obviously you finish at the beach, people can have a swim and relax and that sort of thing. And then do they drive back over to Jennings or how does that work?
Yes, they do drive back over to Jennings. They get about 20 to 30 minutes stop at the beach where they will be able to get some water, soft drinks and a light snack. So they can enjoy that while relaxing, do whatever they would like. And then when it's time to head back, our guides will notify them and everybody will jump back in their buggies and they head right back to base.
Now, how long does the ride take?
Well, this ride is for 2.5 hours.
And is it in the morning, in the afternoon, or either or?
Well, we have three times that we go out. During the day, we have the morning tour, which is 10 a.m., we have the midday tour, which is 2 p.m., and then we have the afternoon sunset tour, which is at 4:30 p.m.
That sounds pretty cool, the sunset tour.
Yes, you get to see the sunset.
Well, yeah, because you're kind of over on the west side of the island as well, so the sun will be just sort of dropping down right in front of you.
We also have other two services, also buggies as well. One is Antigua Trails. This is like a 5-hour half-day excursion where you get to go more stops at our different historical sites like Betty's Hope, Devil's Bridge, and they will get to do lunch at one of our restaurants on the beaches. Then we also have the mud buggy excursion where you use dune buggy type. So we have different adventures for folks so they can decide which one they would like to do.
So how can visitors book a tour? They can do it online, obviously. Is it also available through their resort, for example?
They can book online. They can do it through a travel agent. They can do it through the hotels. or they could call us directly and one of our agents can.
Do you offer pickups from resorts and cruise ships and that sort of stuff?
We do have drivers. It's optional for the guests, whether they would like to use our drivers or they would like to come on their own or they use a taxi. The reason why we have our drivers is they are equipped. So when the guests do come back from the beach and they're all wet or muddy, they will have their seats already covered.
Now, finally, if you have a look at TripAdvisor and anything like that, you guys get really high ratings. People absolutely love going on these tours. What do you think your clients love most about Salty Dogs? What do they tell you about what they love most about this off-road adventure?
Well, from what we gather from most of our guests, they say they enjoy it a lot, especially when they're able to see the different side of Antigua, the more scenic, adventurous side of Antigua, and being able to stop off at beautiful beaches. And also they're asking questions more about the island life. Most of them, they traveled to other countries, they did buggy tours as well, and most of them, the response we get back from them is always the best.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. I'm definitely going to try it the next time I'm in Antigua and Barbuda. Now, here's something you might not know. Antigua is one of the best places in the world to go kite surfing, particularly on the north of the island, and especially during the season from mid-November to July. My final guest on this episode certainly knows. He's been out making the most of those conditions since he was 10 years old. His name is Jake Kelsick. He runs the Kelsick Kiteboarding School out of Dutchman's Bay, and he joins me from London, where he's holidaying with his partner, waiting for the winds to pick up again in Antigua. Hi, Jake. How are you?
I'm great, Peter. How are we doing?
Yeah, really, really good. Now, you run Kelsick Kiteboarding, a kite surfing school in Antigua and Barbuda, but you've been kite surfing since you were 10, I think. How did you first get into it?
Yes, I was very fortunate. My dad, who was born and raised in Antigua, he grew up with a love for water sports and did a lot of windsurfing and sports like that before kiting came around. But then he got into kiting a few years before I even knew anything about water sports or anything like that. And I was lucky to be a young kid hanging out with my dad, watching him figure out this new sport that was just coming up. And then eventually I got to the age where I was kind of old enough to get my hands on it myself. And that's kind of how I got the intro.
And what a place, what a playground to learn, eh?
Oh man, unreal.
What do you think makes Antigua such a great place for water sports and in particular for kiteboarding and kite surfing and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, I think we're just very fortunate where we're located because the climate and the design of the island is very unique. You can travel all around the world and it's very hard to find what Antigua has every year in season. So for us, the wind season is from November until July. And anytime in between there, we have very reliable trade winds, anywhere between 12 to 20 knots. Nice sunny days, very few rainy days. So yeah, it's a dream place for getting a lot of time on the water and in the ocean.
Now, is there a particular side to the island that's better than any others?
For kiting, it's a little bit different to sports like sailing and stuff because you need a much cleaner wind. So most of the kiteboarding happens on the north side of the island, like the windward side where the wind's actually coming straight off the ocean and hitting the island first on that point. So yeah, most of the kiting kind of happens on that windward north coast.
And you guys are based up on Dutchman's Bay, I think.
You got it, yep.
And from all accounts, that's a pretty good place to go to do this sort of thing.
That whole coast is like, that's kind of where it all started. That's been the like go-to spot for everyone for a long time.
Now, can you talk us through the different, I guess they're disciplines. You know, you've got kite surfing, you've got kite foiling, you've got wing surf foiling. What's the difference between each of those?
Yeah, so it's interesting because kite surfing is kind of the one that's been around for a little while now. But within kite surfing, there's a lot of different disciplines. Most people start with just the normal discipline, which is on a twin tip, which is very similar to like a wakeboard style board. So a lot of people are into snowboarding, surfing, anything like that is a pretty natural crossover to get into the first step of kiteboarding on a twin tip. But then as you get better, you can start kiteboarding on a surfboard, which is in waves. You can start kiteboarding on a hydrofoil, which allows you to go a lot faster in lighter winds, travel further. So I think that's kind of the big appeal with kiting, because it kind of just steals from all water sports that exist. So if you're into any sort of board sport or any sort of water sport, you can probably do a version of that on a kite. So that's why it's kind of so attractive to so many people.
You offer lessons for beginners. Can you tell us what the Kelsic approach is for beginners learning to kitesurf?
So our whole goal with getting people into sport is to make sure they have a good experience, because kiteboarding is an extreme sport. So when you first start, especially, it's kind of like learning to drive a car. There's certain things that you just have to know, what to press, what not to press, where your brake is, where your seatbelt is, stuff like that. So when we first start, we take it really easy. We do a 2-hour course where we basically just give you an intro. There's like a big bit of theory where we're just talking you through stuff. And then there's also a bit of practical where you actually get to get your hands on the kite and learn to fly the kite. That's kind of the biggest piece of the puzzle when you first start. Even if you have like board skill backgrounds, you got to actually just learn the mechanics of being comfortable flying the kite, which is mostly done on the beach in the beginning. And as you get better, you start getting into the water and you go deeper and deeper. But usually we start it real simple, 2 hours. That's usually long enough for people to actually learn something. But sure enough, we're not overwhelmed and burnt out. And then hopefully we have wind in the next few days and we have a back and kind of keep pushing through.
So if someone was in Antigua, they're at their resort and they're going, okay, I've enjoyed my time by the pool, but I want to get out and do something active. You know, they want to try their hand at kite surfing. In practical terms, how long would you suggest? How many lessons, or just to be able to get up and actually do it?
Yeah, great question. So usually we start off with that intro just to give a taste, and then most people get hooked in. But in general, it takes, I would say, minimum 2 to 3 days. So with 2 lessons, you're going to get to the point where you are on the board, trying the board a little bit, and maybe just starting to piece it together. And then if you have that 3rd lesson, all your energy is really focused on the final fun stuff of being able to ride back and forth and actually do what people see when they see people kiting.
And so that's for beginners. So if people have done it before and have got a certain level of skill, you can finesse those skills, introduce them to these other, you know, disciplines and stuff?
For people who know how to kite already, yeah, we do offer like level up lessons where you can learn how to kite foil, or you can learn some advanced tricks, or you can learn how to wing foil. But we also do a pretty unique offering where we actually take people way upwind, like way up into the North Sound area, because there's some really cool flat water spots there. So if you already know how to kite and you're self-sufficient, we basically take a boat up with a group of 4 to 6 people, and we can kite up there for a couple hours, and then we can actually kite all the way back down to Dutchman's Bay, which is called a downwinder in the terms of a kiteboarding trip. And that's been super cool. That's kind of one of our most fun offerings, because it's a day at work, but everyone kind of knows what they're doing. So you're kind of just hanging and jamming and touring the whole north side of the island by a kite.
I was on your website earlier, and is that what you would call an excursion?
You got it. You got it.
So yeah, that's for people who can already do it, and it's just going out. And you guys, you have the boat, you have the backup and all that sort of stuff. Now, your partner Megan is an instructor too. And I was reading a number of reviews, and a lot of the female students seem to really appreciate her insight on approaching the sport as a woman.
For sure. Yeah, having a lady who is epic at kiting and knows how to teach and just shows that, you know, a girl can be good at kiting as well. That's been huge. So yeah, girls, young kids, a lot of people who just aren't completely confident that they can do it. Having Megan around doing it, teaching it, is like huge. People really relate to her and be like, oh, if you can do it, like, for sure, like, I can do it. And I feel like the support system woman to woman is a little bit different to guys teaching girls. You know, guys are just like, oh, do this, do that, you got it, go, go, go. Whereas girls kind of like, all right, take your time, you know, it's all right, you don't have to do it all today.
You also offer wakeboarding and wake foiling. What's that like?
Yeah, so that's amazing. This has been something we always dreamed about being able to offer, because kiteboarding is amazing and it's the main focus for us, but every day isn't wind. Kiting, you need the wind. The wind's not there. There's just not much you can do. And that's where wakeboarding and wake foiling come into play, because there was a great training crossover things for kite foiling and also just kiteboarding on a normal board. So wakeboarding is awesome if you have no board experience at all and you just want to be in the water and learn how to ride a board and get tugged around behind the boat. It's super fun. And then wake foiling is a cheat code for learning how to hydrofoil. If you have no experience on a hydrofoil, we take you out behind the boat, take you on a nice big board, a big foil, nice and slow, and we can intro people who have 0 board skills or water sports skills and potentially get them foiling 1 session. So that's been super duper fun.
I guess that'd be ideal for someone if they've just come to the island, like we said before, they're on their resort and they want to get a bit of an adrenaline buzz. They want to be out on the water. It sounds like a fantastic introduction to that.
Exactly. You got it. You got it.
Now, I'm sure it's not all work for you. What are some of your favorite spots on the island to go kite surfing? The kind of places you and your dad might go just to, you know, cut loose and shred.
We love the north side of Antigua, like kind of work and play in the same area a little bit. So like the north sound around there is like honestly super magical. For the effort to get there and the conditions you get access to are huge. So most days, if we have a quiet day and there's nothing happening and we just want to go ride in the best spot, we're usually going on that excursion that we do with other people because that's our favorite spot on island. But Antigua's pretty cool. Like there are a lot of other spots as well. They're just a little bit harder to get to. So again, when you're out there every day, the North Side, it's hard to beat that little area.
I'm impressed that you're sharing your favorite spot with the world, with the excursions.
I know, right? Luckily, it's hard enough to get to that, like, unless you have all the bits, you just won't make it up there. But it's not, you know, impossible to get there. So, yeah.
So people can book all this online?
Yeah, people can book online. They can just go to the website. All the info's on there. Usually, we'll have people reach out by email or phone first just to kind of confirm when they're there, what the weather's like, stuff like that. But yeah, if you want to find out any more info on pricing, what we actually offer in more detail, all the stuff's on the website. And you can actually book online if you do want to do that.
Cool. And do you offer pickups or do people have to make their own way to Dutchman's Bay?
Usually we have people make their own way there. That way they can come when they want. And luckily Dutchman's Bay is like pretty easy to access. So people usually find it no stress.
And some pretty cool restaurants are here, quite close to hand.
It's an amazing little zone and I feel like it's very undiscovered. So yeah, they have the Garden Grill restaurant open for lunch. And then they got a new steakhouse that just opened called Gather, which is open in the evening. So yeah, it's a great spot to come kite, have some lunch, or come kite all day and then maybe slip over for dinner. So.
And finish up with a big steak. Sounds good.
Exactly. You're going to be hungry after a long day out in the ocean, you know?
Now, finally, what do you think makes Antigua and Barbuda such a great place to come to and get active?
Yeah, I think it's just a mix of everything, man. The people, the weather. It's just a very welcoming island. Like whenever you first come to Antigua, the first people you meet, everyone's just happy that you're there. And then the weather, the bays, the natural design of the island, it's just a very homey feeling place. You know, you can kind of cruise around, find little beaches where there's no one else. And it's a unique island, I think, because there's a lot going on, there's stuff to do, but there's also places where you can go and just, you know, have peace and quiet and not be around a lot of people. And that's something I definitely still like about the island.
Okay, that's another one for my Antigua and Barbuda bucket list. Learn to kite surf with Jake. Sadly, that's the end of our episode. I don't know about you, but I'm exhausted just by the thought of all the active things I could be doing in Antigua and Barbuda. A big thanks to all my guests, of course. Don't forget to check out the episode notes for links to all their websites. And while you're there, maybe subscribe to the podcast too, so you don't miss any future episodes. Like our next one. It's going to be about drinking in Antigua. Yes, we will be talking about rum punch. Yes, we'll tell you the best beach bars to try one. And yes, we'll tell you how to make one. Well, not us exactly, but Lisa from Quinn Ferrara, Antigua's oldest rum shack. But we'll also be talking to David Murphy from Antille Stillhouse about how he's using local botanicals to make a very particular type of gin. Join us. It's going to be fun.
The Beach is Just the Beginning is produced and presented by Peter Moore for the Antigua and Barbuda Tourism Authority. For more information and inspiration about visiting Antigua and Barbuda, drop by visitantiguabarbuda.com.